Yo, what's going on, everybody? Dave Lackram with Odd Shopper back at it again. Week 12. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. We went 1-2 yesterday. Shout out to the Lions. They look good. That looks like a pretty good football team right now, let me tell you. And they couldn't pull it off, but they kept it close against the Bills team. Who knows what's going on with them? But credit to the Lions. We got 13 games to talk about for this Week 12 slate. Unlike any other slate, I think, this season, there's probably five, maybe six that I love. I'm going to let you know when we get to those games. And then there's a heap of games that I just very little interest in. Massive spread, some very low totals. We'll dive into all of it. Hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, leave a comment down below. And I'm going to tell you how you get $200 for free on BetMGM in a little bit. So stick around for that. Oh, and follow me at Laughy underscore D on the Twitters, LOUGHY underscore D. Let's go. First up, Falcons at Commanders. Actually, one of the games I really like this week. Keep in mind, too, usually I do it on Wednesday. We had Thursday Thanksgiving football. This is a Friday, but we still haven't gotten all of these full injury reports. A lot of just no practices at all. So on Thursday. So keep that in mind. I'll let you know which specific and big injuries that we're waiting for, but we should get a better idea later in the day. I'm doing this in the afternoon, so we only have some information at our disposal. But the Falcons are getting 4 at the Commanders, 40.5 point total. Look, you have to hand it to Washington right now. They're playing great football. They really are. The defense looks great. And most importantly, in a spot like this, this is what matters the most in this matchup against the Falcons. They are second in run defense DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. That's a big deal. They're allowing 69 rushing yards per game over the last 5, in which they are 4-1 straight up. And the Falcons passing game on the other side is dreadful. They rely on the run to move the football, right? Like, yeah, you're going to have some plays from Marcus Mariota, but he's going to make a lot of bad plays as well. We've seen it in 18 point losses. They throw the football 13 times. And now Kyle Pitts is on the IR. So you're dealing with Kenyon Drake and then basically a grouping of guys like Zacchaeus and a few other Bird who aren't going to move the needle at all. If you can't move the football on the ground against Washington, like I said, 69 rushing yards per game over the last 5, they've done a phenomenal job. They might get Chase Young back as well on the edge. That makes this a position for the Atlanta Falcons, puts them in a very precarious spot. How do they move the football? If they have to do it through the air, they're going to struggle. And this defense is a far cry from Washington's defense. I think the strong edge here goes to the Washington Commanders, laying 4 points at home on Sunday. Next up, you got Texans and you got the Dolphins. All right, this is a massive spread here, 14 points. Get this, only 2 teams have covered double-digit spreads this season. The Bills earlier in the season against Pittsburgh, they just shit on them. And then the last one was, we were on this Monday night, if you watched the Monday Night Football video for Week 11, was the 49ers against Arizona at Mexico City. They took care of business there. That's been it, though. 14 points is a lot. Of course, you look at this game and you're like, the Dolphins should roll. Sure, but there's so many backdoor covers and weird ways that this game could not be competitive, but at the end of the day, look like it was. I don't think so. Obviously, I'm leaning Miami 14, but I would rather tease this. And I got a 3-team teaser for you that's actually really interesting. I'll hit them all now as to spare you the suspense. But you've got Miami, if you're doing a three-team 10-point teaser, right? Miami, you get down to 4 in a spot like this. You can get the Chiefs, who are 15.5 point favorites, to 5.5, right? So you're moving through 10 and you're moving through 7 on both of these. Not through 3, but we shouldn't need it. And then the Panthers, 2.5 point favorite, or dogs, you're getting them to 12.5, getting them, again, through 3, 7, and 10. That's a nice spot. Minus 120. If I'm trying to hit these huge favorites, you're not betting the money line, obviously. The spreads are tough to get to. Of course, lean Miami, but I do like that teaser quite a bit here. So you can take advantage of that one if you haven't. And you can also do it on BetMGM. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, right? Because we had this BetMGM promo. I'm thinking about this. I go, all right, the World Cup has been insane with the insane type of upsets that we've seen. I was like, okay, so a BetMGM, you take $10. We have the link in the description and in the pinned comment. Take advantage of it. You take $10 and you put it on any pre-match money line. If that bet loses, you still get $200 on the other side. That's why this is called a no-brainer bet for the World Cup. Still 10 turns into 200, hands down, no second thought about it, no matter what happens in any of these games. But what if you were like, okay, I'm putting $10 down, that's it. I'm just going to bet the biggest dog out there. I'm going to bet Saudi Arabia plus a 20 or 200 to 1. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet, or sorry, 20 to 1. I'm going to bet them at plus 2,000. And if I win that, I'm getting 200 and I'm getting the other 200. Or I'm going to bet Japan over Germany and turn that into a massive windfall. And now I've got the 200 even if I lose. That's the way to play this, right? Bet a money line dog. Worst case scenario is you lose that bet and you get 200. Even if you lose all the free 200 at the end of the day, the worst case, the bottom, the floor here is you lost $10. All you got to do, deposit 10 bucks when you use the link, bet any pre-match money line, and take some shots on some dogs because they don't need to win. But if they do, you still get paid out and you get the 200 bucks. BetMGM, hit link in the pinned comment and in the description. All right, we're talking about Ravens and Jags here. So the Jaguars are 1-6 against the spread over their last seven games. It has not looked great for them. I thought they had a shot early in the season to look pretty good in what looked like a wide open division, but Tennessee's running away with it. The 3.5-point dogs here. This isn't a game I'm super fond of, but I will say the Ravens are 4-1 against the spread on the spread on the road this season. They are the better team. Last week was weird. They didn't cover the 13 points. We took Carolina. We leaned Carolina. We didn't love that because it's a weird game. Baltimore's offense didn't look great. You know, Lamar leaning on DeMarcus Robinson and Mark Andrews in his first game back. This team coming off a bye couldn't generate much on the ground either. But, you know, if you're forcing my hand here, I'll lean Ravens -3.5. They've just been a better team at covering the spread, particularly on the road. Jaguars, outside of that win against a lifeless Raiders team, have really stalled out over the last couple months of the season. So we'll lean Ravens -3.5. Bears at the Jets. All right, so you guys watching this video may have a different take than I do on this. And again, I just want to give you guys the as much information as I can. You can make your own decisions. Why I say that, though, I don't think Justin Fields plays. He has a separated shoulder, non-throwing arm, but he also has partially torn ligaments. Robert Saleh is like, hey, if this guy plays, we're going to hit him. He also said that people are cutting off the second half of the quote. It was like, if he doesn't play, we're going to hit the next guy up too. That would be Trevor Siemian, though. Now, why would you play? I know Justin Fields is a warrior. This guy can play through injuries. We saw it in college, right? But you're 3-8, okay? You have your top three draft pick right now. What really would be the point of playing him? Okay, especially against the phenomenal defense in the New York Jets. This Jets defense is not good. They are legitimately elite right now on both fronts, run defense and pass defense. They're 6-point favorites. I think we're going to see Trevor Siemian. And we already saw the spread move significantly in favor of New York. Zach Wilson to Mike White doesn't mean a damn thing. Don't worry. There's no reason to really concern us. You actually can't get worse than Zach Wilson's been. That's a fact right now. And the total has dropped a lot too. It's at 38.5. So ultimately, looking at this, you're going, why would you play Justin Fields, right? The guy runs. You're going to let him run and get smoked with that shoulder and risk further injury? That seems nuts to me. I don't see how the offense functions without him. And even against this Jets team, if he plays, I still think they could be in some trouble. Even when he plays well, they're losing all these games. They lost, what, 4 straight? But I don't think he plays. I like the Jets laying 6 points. If you're looking at Trevor Siemian against a team that has a top 8 defense in both pass and run defense, DVOA, it looks like a good spot for the Jets to get back on track after losing that game on that crazy punt return in a 3-3 game that ended 10-3 against the Patriots. I like the Jets here quite a bit. All right, let's talk about the Bengals and the Titans. Titans getting 3. Here's a game that I wouldn't mind if I didn't have to touch at all. And personally, I won't. Now, the Titans, though, I will say, are 8-2 against the spread this season. Bengals are 7-3 against the spread. Joe Mixon has already been ruled out. We saw the crazy 3 receiving touchdown game from Samaje Perine last week. Yeah, I don't think that continues. Tennessee, excellent run defense. They have struggled a little bit against pass-catching running backs. But, you know, this is Samaje Perine. It's not Christian McCaffrey. And Ja'Marr Chase is a game time decision. That's what Zach Taylor's saying. Game time decision. So we don't know. I would lean Titans +3 here. I think it's a very competitive game. Two good teams. You still have Derrick Henry. And I will say though, the Bengals are kind of uniquely equipped to deal with Henry because they don't have to worry about, you know, the bad run defense. They're pretty good on the ground and through the air. But Tannehill's good enough to keep a game competitive, even if Derrick Henry can't get it going. We saw that in each of the last 2 weeks. Let's lean Titans +3. Broncos at the Panthers. The Broncos defense right now, they should just quit. Just quit. Don't show up. Don't show up. And I'm not sure a soul would blame them. Of course, listen, they're professionals. They're getting paid to do their jobs. You have to come to work. But I wouldn't fault them if they did. Now, I'm joking to some extent, but we're talking about a team in Denver that if averaging just 18 points per game, I'm sure you guys have heard this. If they average just 18 points per game this season, they would be 9-1. Think about that for just a brief moment. They would be 9-1. Their defense is allowing 16 points per game in regulation. That's nuts. In regulation this year, 16 points per game. They've lost 3 games in overtime, too, because the offense is downright putrid and the play calling's terrible, and they keep allowing teams back into games when they should be over. I don't care who they're facing at this point. I just can't bet the Broncos. And I know a lot of you guys probably feel the same way. We've probably all been burned by them this season. Can't bet them as a road favorite with an offense as bad as this. Not to mention, they consistently, almost purposely, as a matter of fact, are finding ways to lose late in games. I mean, the Panthers aren't good, okay? And Sam Darnold starting doesn't make a huge difference. Baker Mayfield was terrible. PJ Walker was terrible. But they're no worse than the Broncos at this point when you look at it collectively at home as dogs. Also, the only three wins they have all come at home. So I get why the total's at 36 as well. Honestly, wouldn't be surprised to see this game go under again. Broncos games have gone under, they've gone on under in like almost every game, but they've gone under 36 in 7 of 10 games. And it would have been 8 if Davante Adams didn't walk off last week with a touchdown that never should have gone to overtime. So I'd lean under, but I like the Panthers. Plus there's still some 2.5s out there. FanDuel still has a 2.5 on the Carolina Panthers. Definitely snatch that up. Bucks at Browns. Okay. This game, pretty much a full fade for me. We saw the Bucks kind of get back on track in Germany against the Seattle team that had been rolling. But the run game, like, they got on track, but we haven't seen the run game since basically Dallas in week 1. I don't know what to expect from them. If Leonard Fournette doesn't play, you still have Rashad White. That's nice. He had a strong game in week 10. But I don't really know what to make of this team right now at all. And with the Cleveland Browns, Jacoby Brissett's playing well enough in Deshaun Watson's stead until he returns next week. They have a strong run game, and we've seen some weaknesses in that Tampa Bay run defense from time to time. I'd lean Bucks -3.5 because I think overall they're still the better team despite everything we've seen this year, but this is pretty much a stay away from me. Now, this next game is not a stay away. Raiders at the Seahawks. The Raiders got a win in overtime last week against possibly the only team in football that's in worse shape than they are right now. And they should have lost, honestly. But Russell Wilson once again snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. He threw it on 3rd and 10 coming out of a 2-minute warning, up by 3 points, with the Raiders having 0 timeouts. And then Nathaniel Hackett admitted that he called a pass play. Good job. Good job, boys. Way to figure out how to lose another game at home. He has the best defense in the league. So I keep going back to the Broncos. This team just pisses me off. But there's the best defense in the league. And he's like, no, let's throw on 3rd and 10 with a guy who can't complete a single pass. It's nuts. And then the Raiders, as they should have, punished the Broncos, as has happened all season with these stupid mistakes. What I'm saying, though, is that the Raiders, while they don't have the worst roster in the league, they are definitely in the running for which team can find the most ways to shoot themselves in the foot each week. Seattle took a loss in Germany. Okay. In week 10, before a week 11 bye, but they're just a better team than the Raiders at home in a stadium that we know has distinct home field advantage. Give me the better team here. Give me a team that is, you know, the wheels have fallen off the Raiders outside of a win against the team, and the wheels are 5 miles down the road and have been. Give me the Seattle Seahawks. We're playing good football right now, -3.5. Chargers at the Cardinals. Chargers laying 3, 48 point total, highest that we got. The Cardinals injuries are piling up right now. Ertz is on the IR. I don't think Rondell Moore plays. It seems unlikely. Mike Williams on the other side has got the ankle. Giving you guys the injury information here so you can do what you want with this. Not a game I like. Like I said, there's some games that we're just not going to like. You should never like every game on a slate. If you think you do, you don't. I'll lean Chargers -3 because these Cardinals injuries offensively are a little bit problematic, but Rondell Moore could be back on a pitch count. DeAndre Hopkins is still good. They don't have much of a running game to speak of. And like I said, on the other side, Mike Williams out, but Keenan Allen's return makes a big, big difference for a great slot guy that can move the chains. Austin Eckler, Josh Palmer looks good. And defensively, the Chargers have the edge. They play in a lot of close games, though, which is why I love taking the Chargers like last week when they're 6.5-point dogs. I think we got it at 6.5, moved to 4 in some spots. You take Chargers when they're big dogs because they always keep games close. I always hate betting them as favorites because they could win this game by 2 points, but 3 points, not bad against a pretty inferior Cardinals team, but it's just a lean. Saints at the 49ers. Pay attention to the injuries here because this could be a spot where you'd actually like the Saints at 9.5 point dogs on the road. They're definitely not even close to on the same level as the Niners. But Bradley Roby's back at practice. Marshawn Lattimore's back at practice. Davenport's back at practice. This defense, most of these guys have not played a single snap all together as a unit this year. The defense, if they're all active and not limited, could look a lot better. So for now, I'm not touching it. But if we can still get 9.5 here in the event that the Saints defense looks a lot better and a lot healthier than they've been literally all season long, might be a good spot to get them as almost double-digit favorites. I don't think they win this game regardless, but I definitely think they can keep things remotely intact or respectable if this secondary gets fixed up and the defensive line looks healthier as well. Rams at the Chiefs. All right, no play here outside of the teaser. Gave you guys this earlier. Yes, listen, I'm sure plenty of you are watching going, dude, just lay the points. I get it. I mean, I do. I even considered it for a second. But just understand in the NFL, 15.5 points is still a lot of points, right? I mean, the Rams are as lifeless as it gets. Matthew Stafford's out. Who knows if he plays again this season? Cooper Kupp's on the IR. Allen Robinson, Higbee are questionable. I assume they play, but it's bad, okay? It's bad. You might be seeing Bryce Perkins in there. He's got some wheels. It'd be smart of Sean McVay to start him and see if they can move him around, see if they can get him running a little bit just to create a bit of a spark in this offense. But who knows? Do the Chiefs take their foot off the gas, you know, and they win this game 27-13 and you still don't cover? It's just not a spot I'd like to get to for that reason. Most of you probably agree with that. 15.5 is an insane amount of points. But I can't back the Rams either because this game, they could go scoreless. Who knows? But it's a weird spot. Like I said, that 10-point teaser from earlier in the video, if you want to go back to that, that's what I like here. Getting the Chiefs inside a touchdown to me seems like a great spot with that three-team 10-point teaser, including the Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. All right, Packers and the Eagles. Interesting spot on Sunday night because of what the Eagles did to shore up their run defense. Now, of course, they had a guy like 13-year vets. You know, they're not bringing in the big dogs. Would have been 5 years ago, but Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph. Crazy though, because they immediately thrust them into action, and the Eagles, who allowed 49 yards on seven carries and a touchdown to Jonathan Taylor on the opening drive. Just watching that, I'm like, here we go. This is Eagles run defense struggling again. Then they held Jonathan Taylor after that first drive to 35 yards on 15 carries for the remainder of the game. Right? That's less. That's not great at all. That's well under 3 yards. I think it's 2.8 yards per attempt. Now you have another week of experience in a new system. They're just going to rotate these guys, right? Williams, Cox, Sue, all Linval Joseph. And I think they could see a little bit more improvement. And it's important because the Eagles are entirely capable of running the ball against the Packers' 29th ranked run defense. But they have a dynamic pass offense too. Why do I mention that? I'll tell you. Remember last week where we said that the Denver Broncos did a good job of taking Derrick Henry out of the game. They sold out to stop the run. But then what happened is Nick Westbrook-Ikhina went on to have a career game because Ryan Tannehill, say what you want about the guy, he's still competent when you ask him to perform, especially when you're going to sell out to stop the guy in the backfield in Derrick Henry. So they do that. And then the Packers come in because remember, Denver's weakness is their run defense and their secondary is elite. Packers defense, same thing. So they do the same thing with Derrick Henry, and then it works. But Ryan Tannehill goes on to throw for a season high 333 yards and 2 touchdowns. So in a spot like this, are you going to be able to do something and take that approach against the Eagles? Try and slow down Miles Sanders, who's not Derrick Henry, obviously, and the Jalen Hurts, and an elite rushing attack with a great run blocking offensive line when you know that the Eagles can beat you up through the air as well, even without Dallas Goedert. I think this is a tricky spot for the Packers in Sunday Night Football at the Link. Last time we said that about the Commanders, they came in and beat up on the Eagles. But the Rodgers admitted he's playing with a fractured thumb. This offense is struggling. Eagles' run defense has not been good, but they did look to show some serious improvement in the last three quarters, really outside of that one drive against Jonathan Taylor, who's one of the preeminent backs in the league. I do like the Eagles laying 6.5 here at home on Sunday Night Football. And to wrap this one up, Steelers at the Colts. The Steelers pass rush, their 2.5-point dogs, is the key to this game. Colts looked good last week, you know, kind of. Their defense looked good. Their defense looked good. I'd honestly lean under 39 here. But they're 7th in rush defense, DVOA, the Steelers, all right? If you can slow down the run game and you can get to Matt Ryan, remember, they have TJ Watt back. What a massive difference that makes. You're going to be in good shape. You're not facing a dynamic offense like the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'll have more on this for my Monday night video. I'm going to dig in a little bit more. Right now, though, I'm leaning the Pittsburgh Steelers at +2.5 and the under of 39. Appreciate you guys watching. As always, we'll be back week 13, breaking it all down, running it back once again. Peace.